Amen. Remain standing for the reading of God's Word from Job. We'll read the 23rd chapter. Job chapter 23. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. When he turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does, for he performs what is appointed for me. And many such decrees were with him. Therefore I would be dismayed at his presence when I consider I am terrified of him. It is God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me." Thus far God's holy word. Please be seated. Have you ever been lost? I mean, really lost. I've been lost in all kinds of situations. The most frightening time that I was lost was in the middle of a cypress break in water about waist high. I had on waders. We always relied on the sun to get us out. This particular morning, suddenly a dense fog settled over the land, and there was no sun. Well, we tried to follow the old rule of moss on the north side of the tree. And as we went around, we recognized that we had come back to where we had been. If you get in the middle of water with trees all around you, you just can't walk in a straight direction. And so we walked around in circles, and we finally made our way out hours later. It's a terrifying situation to be lost. And perhaps you've been lost in that way, or lost on the road and taken hours to get someplace that should have taken you but maybe a matter of moments. Now, being lost is similar to spiritual desertion. The feelings are similar. The dismay, the kind of hopelessness that comes over you, and the lack of direction. And so you've probably experienced that as well. Maybe you haven't thought of that connection. But being lost spiritually, losing a sense of direction, or that sense of God's presence. Maybe it's because you're dealing with the consequences of bad decisions. Maybe it's because of sin and God's chastening. Maybe it's simply God's trial, but you know what I'm talking about. And we saw last week, that's really what Job is experiencing here. In the midst of all of his trials, physically, emotionally, the greatest trial was the apparent desertion by God. That lostness, that he couldn't find God, and he really couldn't find his way out of the maze of his life. Now, what is it that you need when you're lost? Well, we made a decision that day that we'd never go back into the woods without a compass. A compass is a great thing to have. It doesn't depend upon the sun or a star or anything else. A compass, a map, these two things are essential in life to keep us on track. Well, we would also find them then essential to keep us on track spiritually. And that if in the midst of our spiritual desertions or our sense of lostness, we have a compass and a map, then we will eventually find our way. Well, Our map is the Word of God. And our compass is the character of God. And that's what Job expresses in the second half, or second two-thirds of this chapter 23rd in his response to Eliphaz. We saw last week in the first seven verses Job's sense of dereliction, the spiritual desertion that had come over him, that he could not find God. But we saw at the end of that section that he had faith that he would be delivered. And so he says, "Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. And there the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered." So he's expressed faith that he would present his case before God, and he expresses a confidence that when he does so, that God will hear him and deliver him. Now, what's the basis of that confidence? That's really the question, I think, that Job answers in verses 10 through 17. And the basis of that confidence that Job has is the character of God and the revelation of God. And so I want to show you here that in times of spiritual desertion or lostness, we look to the map of God's Word and the compass of God's character to find and keep direction. Well, consider three things. Job teaches us here that a believer with this sense of desertion looks to the faithfulness of God, looks to the sovereignty of God, and looks to the grace of God. First, the believer in this sense of lostness looks to the character of God, the faithfulness of God. And we see this in verses 8 through 12. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In verse 8, Job emphasizes this sense of lostness with the word "behold." An exclamation, a word that draws attention to that which he's already expressed in verse 3. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his feet." And now in 8 and 9, Job says, "I have looked all around." And the presence of God and the ways of God are inscrutable. He uses a series of figures. He says, "I've looked forward, backward, to the left, to the right." Some of the older writers following even the older rabbis say that what we have here are the four points of the compass. Forward in the Middle East was always to the east. And so to go forward was to the east, to go backward was to the west. If you're looking east, left is north, and right is south. I'm not willing to go that far, but we recognize the figure that Job has gone in every direction. And he's gone in every direction. He's come up short with respect to two things. In the first place, he's not found God. I go forward, he's not there, and I go backward, and I cannot perceive him. But moreover, as he looks to the left and the right, he can't understand God's ways. He said the Lord acts, but I don't understand those acts. I don't perceive what he's doing. So he begins this section with an emphasis on his feelings of desertion or a spiritual lostness. He, in a sense, is walking around in a circle. He's trying to find God. He's trying to find some rhyme or reason, and he hasn't found it. Then he makes this very confident statement in verse 10. In contrast, "But he knows the way I take." God approves of Job's way. Job, in the searching of his ways, has not found God. But in the way of his life, his conscience bears testimony that God approves.
And because God approves, he knows that God is faithful. So even though he cannot perceive the immediate causes or even the final working out and deliverance of his situation, he can perceive the very final end, and that is because God is faithful, God will not desert him, and God is not punishing him, but rather God is trying him. That's a remarkable breakthrough for Job as he argues against his enemies and asserts the confidence of his own faith. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Language that is it lays the foundation for this theme that we find so often, for example, in the Psalms. That the trials of life, although inexplicable, the believer knows that they are the furnace of God's refining. Not because he's punishing us necessarily, but because all of us have within us the dross of the remnant of sin. And all of us need to have our faith more greatly strengthened. And so God puts us in the furnace. And Job says, I know I'm in the furnace, but because God is faithful, he's put me there, he's going to bring me out. And I'm going to come out refined as gold. And the emphasis on gold here is the yellow gold, the pure and refined gold. Now furthermore, the basis of his confidence is his use of God's revelation. My foot has held fast to his path. I've kept his ways and not turned aside. I've not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The first place, Job says, I cling to the revelation of God that I have, and I esteem it above all things. Now, he had very little. And as far as we know, he had no written revelation. He had the revelation that had been passed on from the fathers. He had whatever revelations God had made to him immediately in their intimate communion. But whatever he had was more precious to him than even the most important necessities of this life, more than his daily food. Second, he says, I have guided my life by the revelation of God. The reason he knows that God approves of his way is his foot has held fast to the path. Like a wild mountain goat, he has so carefully walked in the path that God has set before him, not turning to the right or left. He's looked to the right and left for the ways of God, but in terms of the will of God as he knew it, he had not departed. He had walked in that way and would not depart from the commands of God's revelation. Now, it was because of his esteem for God's word and his good conscience that he had clung to the pathways of God's word that he could now appeal to God's faithfulness. Because Job is expressing here that which the writer of the Hebrews will say so clearly, and that God is not unfaithful to forget your works. He's not claiming perfection. But he knows, because he knows that God is faithful, that because he has sought to live by the word of God, God's not punishing him. But God is trying him. And that because God is faithful, he is going to come forth from that trial. Now we see here the importance of the word of God, don't we? Do you esteem the word of God in this way? Is it, in fact, your greatest treasure? If you had to make a choice this morning between taking time to eat or to read the Bible, which did you choose? Now, that's not saying every time you choose to eat, but it's just making the point. If you had to do without your necessary food for the sake of having God's word, where would your choice be? Is God's word more precious to you than everything else in the world, all wrapped up and put together? Is it indeed your greatest treasure? If you esteem him, as we saw in chapter 22, more than gold and treasure, do you not esteem his word in the same way? For it's by his word that you know him and he speaks to you. I know you're here to study God's word, but do you love God's word? Do you cherish God's word? And then do you use God's word to know God and to know the way in which you should walk? Because then if you do, when you find yourself in times of spiritual darkness, then the Spirit will enable your conscience to be bold, that you've searched yourself by the Word of God, you've determined that you have consistently by God's grace walked by His Word, then you're not being punished. You might not know what God is doing, but you know that God is faithful. And he'll keep you. But now you must regularly be in the Word to come to those conclusions. You must know God's will for your life. And your conscience must bear testimony that you are deliberately seeking to walk in that way. So the Spirit teaches us when we're lost or in times of spiritual darkness to go to the map that teaches us of God's faithfulness. The second thing that we look to is God's sovereignty. And Job expresses this in verses 13 and 14. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. In verse 13, Job declares the absolute freeness and sovereignty of God. Don't you love the expression, he is unique? It's literally, he is one. Yes, he's one in his being, but he's one in his purpose. And he is alone God, and there is none other. He is absolutely unique, free, independent, at perfect liberty to do as he pleases. And thus, what his soul desires, he does. That's simply another way of saying that he foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. The glorious doctrine of God's sovereignty. A doctrine that does him no injustice, but exalts him high above all others. That our God is free and sovereign. But look in verse 14, how Job comforts himself with that. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Job is saying, not only is he free and sovereign in his being and his purposes, but that applies to my life then. That he is the one who has appointed a way for me. He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass in my life. He has many such decrees for me. And so again, although Job does not know why God is doing what he's doing, he knows that God is doing it. He's not afraid of second causes. He's not looking around for inferior beings to be responsible. He's not casting blame on the Chaldeans or the Sabians or Mother Nature. Not on Satan himself. No, he recognizes that God has purposed the things that have fallen out in his life. In a sense, he says here, what that wonderful hymn says, whate'er my God ordains is right. You believe that? Every one of you believes in the sovereignty of God. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God when you look at your baby lying in the hospital? Are you been told that you have cancer? Or you don't have enough money to live the next week? Do you live experimentally and personally with the beautiful truth that God is sovereign? And thus, all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He says where we look, we might not can determine the ways of God, why He's locked us up in this dark maze, and why He seems so distant from us. But we know that he makes no mistake. He who is free and sovereign has foreordained these circumstances. And thus we'll press on with the compass of God's character, following the map that's revealed in God's Word. Now Job transitions now, having looked to the faithfulness of God and His sovereignty, he transitions to God's grace. Notice how he moves from the absolute freedom of God. He says, therefore. Because absolute freedom of God reminds him of the transcendent, absolute, sovereign holiness of this one. I would be dismayed at His presence. When I consider, I'm terrified of Him. It's God who has made my heart faint, and the Almighty who has dismayed me. It's almost as if he's reaching out and suddenly he feels the heat of the fire. He said he longs for the presence of God, but the more he considers God, the more he realizes that it's a fearful thing to come into the presence of this one. To come in unprotected. To be exposed to the full blaze of His holiness. And so he has a conflict here between desiring to find God and yet aware that the presence of God is really the holiness of God and the mysteries of God's deep ways. And it's this concept of God that dismays him. He's terrified. He says that it's God who's made my heart faint. Earlier he said, God's arrows have come into me. And it's the Almighty, the primary name for God, El Shaddai. He's dismayed me. And so as he considers God in His raw being, he confesses his terror and dismay. But notice then what he says. But I am not silenced by the darkness, nor deep gloom which covers me. Now this is difficult, but I understand this to be a confession, but I'm not silenced by this awful holiness and the terror of God. I will continue to speak. Now what can be the basis of that but Job's understanding of God's grace? He's already asserted this in a number of ways. That God would be merciful to him. That God would provide a mediator for him. An umpire. And so as Job looks at the awful, terrifying, unveiled purity and holiness of God, His response is that of Isaiah. Woe am I, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I can't come there. But he is aware that there is a way. And that's because God, who is faithful and sovereign, is gracious. And he has made a way. And Job knew God as a gracious God. He had walked in communion and intimacy with God. Not based upon his perfection. Because he knew that regardless of his confidence, he'd walked in the ways of the Lord. That as he's already confessed, he is a sinner. And thus he must have something else. And that is the mediator. That is the way of approach that is provided by God's grace. And thus we see that in the midst of a spiritual darkness or lostness, that we have the compass of God's character and the map of God's Word to direct us. We can look to His faithfulness. God has a track record. He does not fail. He keeps everything that He's promised. And He will not forget our desires to please Him. We look to His sovereignty. He does what He pleases, but He does so for us. That all things work together for our good. And we look to His grace. Now Job is kind of making his way through the maze. He is coming by the Spirit of Christ to these wonderful insights. But as we sit here this morning, think about the map. We have a completed map. Not a partial map. I bet every one of you had the experience of trying to use MapQuest and it at the end is incomplete. That's when you get lost. It's incomplete. Now Job had a sufficient revelation, a sufficient map for his day. But he knew such a little bit. You see, we have all of these things explained to us now. We have a clear revelation of God's moral law, so we know if we've made wrong decisions or if we've sinned, that yes, God might be chastening us because His Word's clear. On the other hand, we have a clear record that our conscience can bear testimony by, that yes, we have sought to walk by this Word. And the Word explains to us even more fully all of God's attributes. And so we return to that esteem for the Word of God. Do you cherish it and esteem it and love it? Do you pore over its pages? When you are deprived of your daily time in God's Word, do you feel deprived and cheated? You're not doing it superstitiously that if I don't read the Word today, I'm going to have a bad day. No, but it's losing time with your God and Savior. Losing that great soul food that sustains you in your pilgrimage. But we got something else. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a great light that shines on the compass. Because in Him the character of God now comes to full, balanced dimensions. And we know that it is because of Christ that the sovereignty of God doesn't destroy us. And because God is faithful, because of Christ, there's a way opened for us. And that God will never let go of us or cast us off. Oh, the joy and pleasure of knowing the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. The full light of God on God's character. The full light of God that comes from the Word of God. And thus, we have this great thing that Job did not have. And that's Christ. And so you cling to Christ. Do you feel lost? Cling to Christ. Do you feel that God is absent? Cling to Christ. Do you think that God is not answering your prayers? Cling to Christ. Do you feel hopeless? Cling to Christ. Because Christ is the full light of God that will shine in the darkest hour of despair and keep us on track and bring us safely to Himself. Amen. Our God in heaven, how we bless You for Your Word that reveals to us Your character, that reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the way for us that we should walk. We glory in these things. And may Your Spirit indeed bless them to us. Amen.